Okay, so tonight, I want to, the Lord led me to, he gave me an idea, the Holy Spirit. The Lord led me to look into the word forgiveness tonight. And forgiveness is a, trust me, it's a big word. And I'll start out with a few definitions of what it is. It says, the first definition of forgiveness is to give up resentment. If something, somebody's done something to you and you resent it, if you forgive them, then that resentment is to supposedly go away. Number two, it says to pardon or absolve. And that's the one we like, the pardon part. And number three is to grant relief from payment because we had a debt we couldn't pay. And because of our Lord Jesus Christ, he paid that debt, and he did grant us a relief from not being able to pay that, because we never could pay that. And these are Webster's dictionaries, definitions, but now we're going to go to Unger's Bible Dictionary, and it reads like this. The word forgiveness is one of the most widely misunderstood doctrines of Scripture. Some people seem to want to confuse God's divine forgiveness with human forgiveness. And I'm telling you right now, this should never, ever be done. And you get that mixture and try to mix your feelings or what you think you should forgive or shouldn't forgive or whatever with God's divine forgiveness, there's no match. It just can't be. And we see, but God's divine forgiveness, on the other hand, is one of the most costly undertakings. And we all know why, right? Because it cost the life of his son. But he rose again, so. But we're thankful that that our Father and his divine forgiveness and grace, that he provided a sacrifice for us and for the penalty that we had of sin laid on our charge. It demands complete satisfaction. This costly undertaking demanding complete satisfaction. In meeting the demands of God's awesome holiness, you know, I was thinking about how holy God is, and I mean, you read the Bible, and you can read Scripture from wherever. And you can see his holiness in everything. Everything. Even when you look out around the earth. God's holiness. Man cannot even, I don't even think we can comprehend his complete holiness. But someday, when we get to glory, to be with our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, we will once know what that glory and what his holiness is about. And I think we'll be learning a lot of things on the other side. Now, we must remember that God's holiness, of course, is above all human degree. And that is in our thinking, our reasoning, and our comprehension. These three things, thinking and reasoning and our comprehension. First of all, our thinking is nowhere like God's, of course. Our reasoning doesn't come close. And our comprehension of God's omnipotence is just beyond what we can even understand here. We do get a light view, I'd say maybe, or a shadow of through his word, we get to see what God is like through his word. But we still, he is way above us. Above everything that we think or see or do. And it's good because he's our creator. And we should reverence him in this thing. And I would say to this, that I believe that this difference between what God thinks and humanity thinks, I think even in believing Christian people, the believers, even in believers, I think this is a stumbling block. I think they have some people have a hard time realizing the difference between we as humans, what we do and what we see and what we feel, into what God is and what he is holy and above all things. And I think that a lot of times it's just, and I'm talking about ones, I'm not talking about every believer, I'm just talking about some, that if you don't stay in the Word every day and you don't read the Word, I could see where you could get mixed up. I mean, you know, it's easy to do, I think. But and you just think about that. Maybe you don't agree with it. I don't know. But that's just something I thought about and led to me. So let's turn to Isaiah 55, chapter 55, and we're going to read verse 6 through 9. And this is talking about God is above our human degree. And that's Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8 is what I really kind of wanted. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it tells us right here, as part of this, he was speaking about an everlasting covenant here, but his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I mean, that just, to me, that should just be pretty obvious, right? And but a lot of people, maybe they don't reverence God like they should. And I can't imagine not, because he's our creator. And he allowed his son to come from glory down to this earth in the form of man to take upon our debt that we could not ever, ever, ever pay. I don't care how many generations would go on, we could never pay. Would never get a return unto our Heavenly Father. I praise our Lord Jesus Christ for what he's given us and the willingness to do this for me and for you and for anyone that just simply believes. I want to go to Psalms 19. I just picked out a few verses, but this is just kind of the beginning, so just hang with me. You'll have to come back next week and the next week to figure out how it's all going to go together. Actually, I don't know how it's going to go together. I'm just relying on the Holy Spirit and our Lord. Okay, Psalms 19, and I just want to read the first two verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day are their speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So his heavens declare the glory of God. I mean, think about it. We've all laid out there at night and looked up the heavens. How beautiful is it? All them stars. And they said, you can't even see all the stars. We just see a few of them. But I mean, the glory of God. How widespread is it? How engulfing is it? It's everywhere. And it should cover us all completely. Let's go to Leviticus. I want to read some verses in Leviticus 4. And verse 20. Now this is back in, Erlene did this Leviticus, did some lessons on Leviticus, I don't know, quite a while ago now.
What chapter was it?
4, 19. Chapter 4, verse 20. And this is when... this is when the priest went in for the sins. And it said, and he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. So it had to be the priest had to go in, what, once a year or something like that, I think? And he had to go in and go through the ritual of the sin offering there. And had certain things he had to do. We're not going to get into all that. And he had to do when rulers sinned. And there was a lot of things that the priest had to go in and do this stuff. and the blood on the, he had touched the horn and the fat, and there's all these things that he had to do. And so you think about it, and all these things that, but all these things that he was doing in the Old Testament, which was the law, he was really trying to show Israel how to worship and serve a holy God. And also pointed to our Lord Jesus Christ, which would be the ultimate atonement that we needed and the ultimate sacrifice. I just dropped down to verse 26. Here's another part. And he should burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and shall be forgiven him. So the priest had to go in a bunch of times, different times to do all this. And you had to go to the priest to get this done. In Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 6, and he said, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. See, he's going to make a, it said that a trespass offering and then a sin that he sinned, atonement for concerning his sin. So we see that there's all these things. And further down, I was reading this further down about the turtle doves and the pigeons and all that. I know Erlene went into all that, and I'm going to have to go back into it again and see it. It's pretty interesting. But God is really just trying to show Israel how to worship and serve and obey a holy God. Now, we know that they didn't from time to time. And, you know, just like we don't worship our God like we should sometimes. Neither did they. But if you stay in the Word, simply stay in the Word. Chapter 19, Leviticus 19 is the next one. And this is Moses when he spoke to the Lord, and this is talking about different things and moral acts that were forbidden, and the golden calf and all this stuff they did, and about wives and sisters and brothers and just the abominations that were done, people were doing then. And guess what? They do them today still. And it's an abomination to the Lord. He hates it. He hates it completely. And these people will be cut off for sure. Leviticus 19, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Very simple, right? He tells them, I am holy, you should be holy. And that's the way we should be also. If you're serving your Lord with a clean heart, I guarantee you that old nature, that old rotten heart will actually go away. Let's see, what am I doing here? I don't know. Psalms 139, I'm going to read 23 and 24. And this is about the heart. And I was thinking about this earlier when I was going through these Psalms, because I had a whole bunch of them. And I even had a bunch that Gordon had already gone through. And, you know, you could tie all this together, one Psalm here, one Psalm here, another Psalm here, another Psalm here. I mean, you could just go like we're doing on Sunday night and see all of it fit together like a glove, because it does. It just dovetails all together. But here he's saying that in 23 of chapter 139 of Psalms, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what? That should be our prayer every day, right? And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Very true. Let's see. And I wanted to say now, the ultimate sacrifice for the atonement for our sins, complete forgiveness, by the shed blood of our precious Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. You know, in this sweet fellowship that we have with God and our Lord Jesus Christ must begin, and it must be everlasting. And the only way it can be everlasting, this fellowship, is to praise the Lord for His glory. Stay in the Word. Fellowship with Him daily in the Word, in this holy Word of God. It's very important that we do this. The sweet fellowship that we have with our Lord, just think about it. Think about the fellowship that you have personally right now with the Lord. You go to Him, you call upon Him, you speak to Him daily. And you know, you don't always have to answer something. Go to Him and praise Him. It should be in your heart to do so. And I'm like anybody else. Some days I just don't do that. And I know that I should. I mean, really, I should. But it's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do this. Because as a human, we just start doing it and then we get doing something else and we forget. And Satan distracts us from all that. And then before we know it, a day's gone by and we didn't even talk to the Lord. So it's very important to stay in there and make it be everlasting. Even while we're here, and we know it'll be everlasting on the other side, because it'll be from glory to glory. That's what we want, from glory to glory. I love that, from glory to glory. Before the foundation of the world, think about it. God had a plan. God put it in motion. Because God spoke it, it was already done, right? From the beginning. Done. The Savior. Romans 5. We're going to go through some of these. Romans 5. I'm going to read verses 5 through 11. Now, I know I could just read the whole chapter and everything. And I could read several chapters. But I'm going to pick out on number 5, chapter 5, number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We've received the atonement, right? Because all of us came after the cross. So we've all received the atonement, if you want it. So many people don't want the atonement. It's a free gift. God gave it to us through His Son. It cost God, but didn't cost you and me anything. Why would you not freely grab a hold of this? I don't understand it, why people don't want to. Because they're ignorant. That's the only thing I can say. You know, and ignorance is only going to carry them so far. It's only going to be an excuse for so long. Verse 19 in the same chapter 5, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense or the sin might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise the Lord. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Then Paul goes on in 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So Paul goes on. He's really going to get on a roll here pretty soon. And I'd like to get on a roll with him, because he's a good one. I love Paul. And we're going to keep going on forward with this a little bit. I want to go to Galatians. I want to go to chapter 3. And the Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 1, it starts out, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No, you have not. I mean, Paul's just, he's really upset with them because they knew the Spirit. They knew Jesus Christ crucified. But he come back, and what'd they do? They turn right back around to the law and bondage. They just, I don't know what it is about people that love that bondage. Verse 13 is what I want just for this. I'm not going to read this whole thing. Verse 13, or verse 14. And the law is not of the faith, but man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So, very simple. Just stay in the Word. I mean, don't be like the Galatians here. And one day be with the Lord, and the next 7 days you're not. And then, you know, because a lot of Christians, and I do know this for a fact, that there's a lot of people that go, they're in the legal churches. They go to church, they're dressed nice, whatever. They go to church. They don't even know what's going on, okay? They walk out of there, say hello, goodbye, and all that. And then they go about their merry little way all week long. And then they go to church on Sunday again, and they think that's it. They're covered. Everything's fine. It's not. They need to stay in the Word. And if you don't know the Word, you're missing out on a lot. Yeah, exactly. I always used to laugh at them because they always dressed so nice. And I always thought, yeah, I'd watch them. They'd just stand around and talk. And then pretty soon they'd all go out and eat. And nobody carried a Bible. And it's like, and the guy only talked for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I didn't get anything out of it. But anyway, I was telling Earlene about this the other day. I always wanted to go to a church. My mom and dad didn't go. And I always would go. And if somebody was going on Sunday, I'd hitch a ride with them. I even used to get on the highway and hitchhike into town so I'd go to church. And, and a lot of the meetings I went to weren't the greatest, but I just wanted to go to church and try to hear the Word. And the Lord led me in all that, of course, so I give Him the glory. Ephesians 1, and I'm going to start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Okay. Verse 7 is what I wanted. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. It's all about God's grace, our Lord Jesus Christ, what He's done for us. Let's move on to Hebrews. I love Hebrews. Hebrews 1, I'm going to read verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Purged our sins. Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, and someday that bridal company will be right there with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we want to be in. We want to be the tail coming in. We want to go up with the Lord and be with the Lord in that bridal company. And turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And there's a lot in this, in these chapters. And I just picked out a verse. it says here, Christ, in verse 11, Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See, eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Move on over to Hebrews 10. And we're just going to, I'm going to read a few in here. We're starting verse 10. Hebrews 10, 10. 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He taketh away the law, that he can establish the second, our Lord Jesus Christ, his grace, by which we are sanctified, by which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Them that are his, we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go over here to 1 John. We're getting close, people. 1 John. Don had a study in John, 1 John. It was good, really good. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us all from sin. See, everywhere you go in here, what's it talking about? It's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he gave himself for us that we might live and live abundantly unto him. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 John 1 and 2, I think. Yes. My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but what? Also for the sins of the whole world. See, he's taken in the whole world, and these people don't want any part of it. And it's so sad. Breaks my heart. Revelation. Chapter 1 through chapter 6. No, I'm just kidding. Chapter 1, 5 and 6. I think I'm funny anyway. Anyway, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I'd just like to leave you with this quick thought here about these scriptures. Remind us of the necessity of forgiveness, not only for what we do, okay, not for just what we do, but for who we are, right? You are a walking testimony Whether that testimony is bad or good, you are a walking testimony. You are who you are. Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. That's what we should be like. He says, but if we sin through weakness or in a passionate act of some kind, I don't care. Sin is still sin. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come or fall short of the glory of God. Jesus is our sin offering of forgiveness. And I just praise the Lord, and that's what I had for tonight. So, we may continue on. This might be a long thing. I don't know yet. Just depends. The Lord might lead me in another direction some other way.